This is Dave Denniston, and welcome back to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. Let's do it.
Welcome to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, where it's all about slashing your debt and taxes and creating a liberated lifestyle. And now, your host, with a love of fantasy books and funk, and a hatred of running more than 3 miles, Dave Denniston.
All right, my friends. Well, welcome back to the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast. I'm so happy that you are here. I am so grateful that you're taking some time out of your busy, compressed schedules to join me today. And one of the big topics that I hear from many different folk, from many different walks of life, physician or not, is living expenses and credit cards. What do they do? What's a good strategy? And as a matter of fact, I recently got an email from a listener, and here's what he said. Dave, what is your opinion on using credit cards? I have an American Airlines card. I pay it off every month. Sort of. He said, the more I spend, the more miles I get. Plus, if I spend $30,000 in a year, I get two $99 companion fares. The problem is I have a hard time keeping track of what I have spent. I am always putting money down on the card. It is a never-ending cycle. Is there a better way that I can get alerts on my credit card balance? I am tempted to going back to using my debit card to keep better track of my spending. But I will not get the miles towards the tickets, nor towards the $99 companion tickets. I don't think American Airlines has great customer service, and they are often late. Delta has been better by Consumer Reports, and I wouldn't be heartbroken by using a different carrier. And I also think about all the money a company makes on merchants by charging them 1.5% or whatever the new rate is with every purchase. I am supporting a business model I don't think is good for America, keeping us all in debt. What are your thoughts? Well, my friends, I did reply back in an email, and certainly this is something that is so hard for all of us, right? I mean, we swipe the plastic and you get a credit card bill, and one month is so different than another. It's just mind-blowing. It's hard to keep track of. However, I do think there's a few basic principles that I would like to share with you. Number one thing when we're looking at credit cards is there an annual fee for the program? Now, if you have a monetary benefit on the rewards, well, as a matter of fact, let me scratch that. Everything has a monetary benefit with it, with the rewards. So let's just think about this. How much are those rewards worth? So here in this example, this particular physician, he talked about having 30,000 points. Well, here's my question. How much does that reward yield? How much does that reward yield? Is it $1,000? Is it $500? Is it $200 worth? And I know, of course, this is variable, and for sure, travel pass prices will change. But let's say you went to Orbitz instead of going through American Airlines or Delta or whatever carrier that we're talking about here with a credit card, and you tried to book a flight through several different carriers. Well, what would the price of that flight be? My friends, if you're not sure, or if it takes too long to figure out what the heck this benefit is worth to you, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. But anyhow, let's just say you do find a value. Let's say you find an idea of how much it's worth to you. We want to subtract the annual fee, if any, from the benefit. And the question is, where do you stand now? Now, in my opinion, I think most of us are better off with something like a cash back rewards. with no annual fee, rather than travel points. This way, you don't have to worry about blackout dates, and you can actually walk away with some cash. And as a matter of fact, my friends, there is a really, really neat tool, a fantastic site called MagnifyMoney.com. Have you ever been there before? They have this huge, extensive research and really good write-ups on credit cards. I'm going to have a link to the show notes of the comparison. And they had a really great write-up on multiple ones that I read. The one that stood out for me at the time of this podcast recording, which is around the middle of June, was on the Fidelity Rewards Visa Signature Cards. And here's what they said about this particular card. They said, banks are able to give customers credit card rewards thanks to interchange fees, meaning that banks charge merchants a 2% interchange fee for the convenience of swiping the credit card, right? Now, knowing this, they often caution people to be wary of cash back rewards over 2%. So when you see a deal for 5% cash back, your bogus radar should be going off. Now, sure, you may often receive 5% for a quarter, they say, but there's often lots of red tape, earning limits, categories that don't even apply to your spending habits. And so when they analyze this credit card, the Fidelity Rewards Signature Visa, it offers a 2% cash back on all purchases, no limits, no annual fee, which we like that, right? Anywhere Visa is accepted. But they say the caveat here for this card is you have to have a Fidelity account if you want the full 2% back. They say the cash goes into an eligible Fidelity account, which could be a brokerage account, a cash management account, retirement account, a Fidelity managed 529 plan, and then you can automatically set up the rewards to deposit each month that you reach the 5,000 minimum of rewards. So basically, you guys, you can't redeem any rewards until you hit $5,000. So if you're not spending $5,000 on credit cards, this particular card would not make sense. But anyhow, they go on and on and on. And one of the things that I've told clients about this particular card time and time again that is so neat, let's say you're in a position where you're having a hard time saving for your kids for college, right? Because maybe you're a newly practicing physician, you're paying back money to your student loans, and so you just bought a new house, and so cash flow is just so tight. Well, here, you don't actually have to put money into a 529 plan. Your rewards are doing that for you. This way, you can systematically save without even thinking about it. So I personally love this card. I think it's a fantastic vehicle for doing so. And anyhow, they go on and on and on. And again, I'll link all this in the show notes. Now, one of the other things, as I stumbled here upon Magnify Money's website, that I thought was so revealing was they had a personality test. So I'll talk about that in just a moment. Now, one of the things this gentleman brought up was the whole idea of, should I even be using credit cards? Should I be using a debit card instead? And I believe that most of us that are making over $100,000, as we all are, who are probably listening to this podcast, is I believe credit is better than debit. The reason being is security. We are targeted, you guys. We have a target on our back of people trying to steal our identities. And if someone ends up taking your debit card data, now they have access right into your bank account. Bad news. We don't like that. So I say use credit because at least they don't have access right into your bank account. It's generally much easier to get a credit card canceled than it is to get your money back in your bank account after someone's taken it out. Now, that being said, I believe we all need to identify one area in our life where we could budget. I don't think you necessarily need to budget everything, but finding that one area, my friends, is so important. And what you do in that one area is you take out cash. You don't charge on your credit card. You take out every single month, once a month, a certain amount of cash for that area you struggle in. If it's groceries, take out $500 or $600 a month for that, depending on whatever your budget is. Keep that in your wallet. And when you're out of that money, you're out. You can't spend anymore. This way, all you have to do is look in your wallet and see how much money do I have left. And just practicing that discipline is huge. So I encourage you to do that. The other thing that he was talking about in the email was keeping track of stuff. One of the things that I often recommend to people, no matter whether they're a client or not, is of course mint.com. There's a whole bunch of other websites out there. The one I personally use is called eMoney Advisor, because this incorporates some fantastic financial planning tools. And so we can do all kinds of cool projections and yada, 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 yada. But either of those can help you keep track of the flow. So whether it's Mint, it's eMoney, any one of these other services, that's another way to keep track of this stuff. So the next thing I want to talk about, you guys, is what I found out in this personality survey. What I found out about myself. And what I thought was so interesting is how sometimes we need to do some internal review. We need to say, who are we really? And what motivates us? What drives us? And therefore, what can we improve on? And in this personality quiz, I think it's something everyone should take. Every listener should take 5 minutes out of their day to see, where are they at? Where can they improve on? What's a blind spot in your vision? So let me tell you about the results of my exam. In my exam on this time perspective, this money management quiz, it told me I was well-adjusted. Well, that's good. It's good to be well-adjusted. However, it did caution me, watch out for your past. It said also for me that I need to keep an eye on my future outlook. And as I read further down the page, I was hitting a lot of ideal spots. And the one that really came out for me, it said that my past is likely dominated by unpleasant memories, which makes you resistant to exploring life experiences outside of your comfort zone. You're suspicious of the new. You regret the past and tend to try and stick to the status quo. It says the good. People like you are less likely to fall into the biggest money troubles because you're so cautious. And then the bad. You're probably missing out on savings and opportunity by being so cautious. And even further, what they said was, in terms of takeaways, be ready to switch and save if you're stuck in debt, which I'm not. Don't expect your existing lender to help. You can reach out and shop around as well, find a big, better deal. And this one, you guys, hit true for me. Make new memories. It's important for your health to enjoy new positive experiences like a new restaurant, a quick trip, or a new class. Experiences should trump material things. And so for me, you guys, as I read this, it really hit home personally for me. I am someone, people remark all the time, I am so conservative for someone being relatively young. And some of the other things that they said here was funny. It says, even your mom probably tells you to live a little. Your past and maybe even present is likely to be littered with parties you decided not to attend. You probably don't take many risks when it comes to your finances. That's good for keeping you out of trouble. And while it's great to take time evaluating opportunities, you need to at least seize some of them. It says, don't be afraid to be rejected. And yada, 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 yada. And so I think as we explore who we are, where we're going, I know for me, taking risks, part of me doing this podcast is taking a risk, having new experiences, connecting with people. One of the things I've been doing to grow myself is going out to new restaurants every time I travel, like to a place that's been featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. But I'm still growing in this area. I tend to hold on to money, right? I certainly don't have any problem with investing, but like many others, I hate to lose. And so I would love to hear from you, my audience, my dear listener, in knowing what you struggle with. I want you to take this test. Take 5 minutes out of your day. Let me know your results. Where are you trying to improve upon? How can I help you? How can I help you be accountable? But anyhow, I think there's a few great lessons here from today. Definitely check out the show notes. Check out Magnify Money. Think about credit versus debit. And remember, my friends, slash your debt. Slash your taxes. Live a liberated lifestyle. For the Freedom Formula for Physicians podcast, this is Dave Denniston. Thank you so much for listening. Look forward to hearing from you and checking again soon. Have a good one.